As we listen to the news and learn of the earthquake in Haiti and the tropical storm Fred in that area, hundreds of lives lost, and now the debacle in Afghanistan and people concerned about their loved ones that are unable to get out, how many have lost lives? Well, we pray for the families, do we not, that are involved here with these tragedies. And just recently, as many of you, of course, knew Brother James Hackett from the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ, formerly the Garfield Heights Church of Christ, passing on into paradise. And we all that knew Brother James are missing him. We certainly pray for his family at this time of grief, but it's also a time of rejoicing as well. And so, with these things in mind, I wanted us to go to the book of Habakkuk for our study this morning. Now, some have trouble finding the book of Habakkuk. They shouldn't, but they're unfamiliar with this inspired book found in the minor prophets, as there are great lessons to be found in this inspired book. The minor prophets have lessons that are needed to be preached today, as they're not minor in content, minor in length, as you compare them to the major prophets. Well, Habakkuk is generally dated shortly before Judah, the southern kingdom, was taken into Babylonian captivity, 612 to 606 BC in that area. And this minor prophet book differs from the others because Habakkuk takes the complaint of the people to God instead of taking the word of the Lord unto the people. So let us learn along with Habakkuk. How shall we live before God? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to preparing for eternity. That's the most important thing we can do. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble to worship, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude and also in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we are very appreciative of opportunities to study God's word with anyone, and we look forward to those opportunities. And your questions, Bible questions, and comments that you want to make are appreciated. You can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study, the book of Habakkuk, this morning, and we're answering the question, how shall we live before God? So let's begin with verse 1 in chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. What's Habakkuk doing here? He's pleading unto God for the righteous as he sees injustices that are all around him there in Judah And he's asking God, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Well, is that the way to approach God? Now, this is a prophet of God doing this, but it's not proper, and we all should see that. And it reminds us of others who have felt that God was not involved in man's affairs. You see, this is how people are thinking today. Oh, yes. Sad to say, that's the case. But notice, as we go to Job 21:7, we're studying the book of Job in our Sunday morning Bible class. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, or mighty in power? As Job asked this question. You see, the point, thinking God was not involved in man's affairs? Well, Job was making a point, too, that there are those that live wicked and yet they prosper. Job's friends were thinking that he was a great sinner, and that's why he had all the problems in his life, of losing his children, his possessions, and so forth, and then his health. But they were wrong. Job had not sinned. Satan was behind it. But now we go to Judges chapter 6, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Well, at this time, Gideon was not of the right mindset. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? It befell them because they had left God. Yes, God disciplined his people. And they were under the Midianite oppression. But God used Gideon to deliver them. Remember that, of course. We go on. Jeremiah asks in Jeremiah 12:1, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You see, the question there that Jeremiah is asking is still being asked today. Asaph, the psalmist, we've had lessons from Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. Notice Asaph said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Well, that's true. There are a lot of wicked folks prospering. A lot of politicians, crooked as they can be, and prospering. Well, we don't like that, but we certainly don't want to slip. We don't want to have our faith weakened because of things like that. Notice in Revelation 6:10, as the martyred saints are pictured as crying out, how long, O Lord, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? Well, that was answered because God avenged their blood. Yes, he did. And the fall was great. And so again, what we're seeing is the similarity, as many today think that God is no longer involved in the world because of all these injustices of life. But that's not true. Of course it's not. And God answers Habakkuk. In chapter 1, we pick back up with verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God, little g. Yes, God used the Babylonians to take Judah, the southern kingdom, into captivity. But there would be a righteous remnant return after 70 years and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem and the temple. Yes, God dealt with his people. And so you see that God answers Habakkuk. God will punish his people in time. And of course, the righteous will be taken care of. Now, we need to all realize, all of us, God sees the whole picture. He's not limited as man is. We only see a portion. We see the news and things going on, but we don't see all that's involved. No, we don't. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 reminds us, as God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And thus man should never, I repeat, should never, never judge God. We're not to do that. Sad to say, it happens though, doesn't it? As we hear people doing that today, we better not be among them. It's not our place to judge God. God is just. Deuteronomy 32:4. And justice demands punishment when God's law is violated. But remember, he's also long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. That's right. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance, to submit to the gospel of Christ. And he waits. He's long-suffering towards us. So never, let us never forget that. And never again judge God. But let's go on now to chapter 2, and we'll notice verse 4. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." That's right. God reveals how the just are to live. Let me be sure and get that word out correctly. God reveals how the just are to live. As Habakkuk makes a second plea concerning the Chaldeans, who would conquer many nations, yet they were more corrupt than Judah. As you go back to chapter 1 and read verses 12 through the end of the chapter, well, let's go ahead and do that. "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he?" See what Habakkuk's asking God? "And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all them with the eagle, they catch them with their net, gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad. And therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations?" Again, Habakkuk's asking God these questions. Well, you see, God reveals the answer to the question how the just are to live. The Chaldeans will be punished, but in God's time. And the Lord answered me, verse 2 of chapter 2, and said, "Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, and he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry and wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." You see that? The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that is, will be punished, but it's in God's time. The righteous shall be saved from the destruction if they remain faithful. So here's the point. Let's all appreciate this. Trust God no matter what. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how awful the news is, how disappointed we are in the way things are going, trust God no matter what. Habakkuk 2:4, again, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Paul quoted in his epistles to the Romans, to the churches of Galatia, to the Hebrews, if he's the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews. Notice Romans 1:17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So you have a system of faith, the gospel of Christ, that creates our individual faith from faith to faith. Remember verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And so, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It was written in Habakkuk 2:4, wasn't it? And then again in Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law," that's the law of Moses, "in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And we know from Romans 10:17, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 17 of the book of Romans, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's how it comes. And now Hebrews 10:37-39. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's be of those that are believing and obeying the truth, the gospel of Christ, and live by faith, the faith that comes by hearing the word of God, not faith only, but a working faith, not a works of merit, no, works of righteousness. That's the kind of faith we need to have. A working faith. Never, never lose confidence in the promises of God. We need to hold fast. Job asked this important question back in Job 9:2. "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" Well, God has always demanded faithfulness for one to be justified. Remember in our sermon last Lord's Day, the dividing line that God had placed, and we started Genesis 6:8-9, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You see in verse 5 of chapter 7, let's go one chapter over, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. That's right, that's a working faith. That's works of righteousness. You go to Hebrews 11:7 now and notice with me, all of us, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, here it comes, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now that's working faith. God gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, and he did all that God commanded him. Not part of it, not just a little bit, but it was all that God commanded him. And thus he prepared an ark according to the commands of God. That's the faith that Noah had. And that's what we're talking about. One is able to stand justified in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the obedience to the gospel of Christ and remaining faithful even unto death. Revelation 2:10. In Romans 5, 8 through 10, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Chapter 5 in Hebrews 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. That's right. But notice now in chapter 2, verse 20 of Habakkuk, as God sets forth that man is to reverence God, to put God first in our lives. Verse 20 of chapter 2. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. One of the hymns we sing uses that very line, doesn't it? In the precious word of God, we know that we must reverence God. Put God first in our life, Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But notice the previous verses here as God exposed idols for what they are, verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. That's the foolishness of idolatry. These dumb idols cannot speak, but God does. He speaks to us through his word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Peter 1:3, the word of God contains all things unto life and godliness, and we need to be faithful students of God's word, but not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, but be doers of the word. Certainly James brings that out, does he not? So let's ask ourselves, do we have reverence for God when we worship and study His Word? What does our lives say? In Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. But notice Habakkuk responds to God's greatness by praising God. We want to finish up with chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singers on my string instruments, as you close out the chapter. You see, Habakkuk is now strengthened, and he responds to God's greatness as he praises God. He trusts God and expresses his faith. Well, David offered unto God his prayer before the congregation of Israel. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is the power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Well, we need to have that same attitude, do we not? Moses had this attitude, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Deuteronomy 32:3. How often do we truly praise God? You see, God is gracious. He's allowing us time to repent, but God is just and will punish the disobedient. And we can be justified by coming into the contact with the blood of Christ and living by faith, a faith that is seen in obedience to God's word. Realizing God's greatness, we should love and serve and praise Him. We must reverence God, even when times are the most difficult. The decline of our nation, of course, concerns us. But we must live faithfully unto the end of our lives to have the victory in Jesus to be justified before God. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, making a change of wills, make the good confession unto salvation. Now we're ready to be immersed into Christ and contact His precious blood that washes away our sins. He then adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. Again, even if it means our death, we'll have the victory. The just shall live by faith. And we thank you so much for listening today.